Let us reflect on the Hebrew scripture, Psalm 19. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Heaven is declaring God's glory. The sky is proclaiming God's handiwork. One day gushes the news to the next, and one night informs another what needs to be known. Of course, there's no speech, no words. Their voices can't be heard, but their sound extends throughout the world. Their words reach the ends of the earth. God has made a tent in the heaven for the sun. The sun is like a groom coming out of his honeymoon suite. Like a warrior, it thrills at running its course. It rises in one end of the sky, and its circuit is complete at the other. Nothing escapes its heat. God's instruction is perfect, revering one's very being. God's laws are faithful, making naive people wise. God's ends are right, gladdening the heart. God's commandments are pure, giving light to the eyes. Honoring our God is correct, lasting forever. God's judgments are true. All of these are righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than a ton of pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than dripping off the honeycomb. No doubt about it, your servant is enlightened by them. There is great reward in keeping them. But can anyone know what they've actually done wrong? Clear me of any unknown sin, and save your servant from willful sins. Don't let them rule me. Then I'll be completely blameless. I'll be innocent of great wrongdoing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you, Deborah, for sharing that beautiful psalm, Psalm 19. Before I share a little bit on that psalm, I want to make sure that we have a chance to indeed welcome all those wonderful pets and animals that have furry friends and all that have come to join us in worship today. My friend Angelica, who has been joining us on Zoom worship for the last six, almost 7 months from Long Island, sent me this wonderful quote recently from Mirabai Star. It says, "Believe the incredible truth that the beloved has chosen for their dwelling place the core of your own being, because that is the single most beautiful place in all creation." And even though Mirabai was talking about us as humans as the place that the beloved has chosen for their dwelling place, the truth of the matter is we know that God is found in all of God's creatures, in all of God's creation. And I think nowhere is this more clear than with the animals that inhabit our lives with us, whose purity of essence, whose beauty of wonder can tame the wilds of strife and hate that we find within at times, who can bring calm to the chaos that can mercilessly stalk us, can remind us that we too are each a dwelling place of the beloved. So I want to take a moment. I want everyone who's brought a pet, who has brought a stuffed animal, who has brought a picture, who has brought a puppet. Mark Wilson has, where is Mark Wilson? He's got his life-size chimpanzee puppet with him. Koa, let's get Koa into the picture. Koa has made it in there with us. Come here, buddy, with his beautiful pink lay on right now. Yes, yes. So I want to thank everyone who has had the blessing of these wonderful, wonderful companions. And we're going to say a prayer right now for them. Have some of our animal friends whose pictures will appear that have been sent to me. They're going to appear at the And many of our animal friends are right here on the Zoom screen, as well as some for whom we just have names, such as Marley and Missy and Hershey and Racer and Chock-a-Block and Houdini and Licorice. And so we take all of those who have come and joined us, and let us offer a moment of prayer together. God, our creator, we ask you to bless these, our many animal friends, with your light and love. May they have good health, happy lives, and always be protected and safe. We ask for better understanding as we learn from their wisdom, their innocence, their loyalty, and particularly their seeming ability to not judge human beings unkindly. Thank you for the pleasures, the playfulness, and sometimes the surprising humor our pets display. Thank you for their companionship and friendship, especially for those lonely hours we may have experienced. Thank you for our companions' natural ability to teach us to be aware of the very present moment. Thank you for the pure beauty of every animal, their form, their color, their texture, their motion is all a work of art. May we appreciate your creation of this masterpiece. Thank you for this gift of love so wonderful that their presence inspired St. Francis to call all of them his brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless each of these, our animal friends. By the power of your love, enable these beloved creatures to live according to your plan. May we always praise you for all your beauty and creation, your very presence of love in all creatures. And the peoples, the animal chorus, all said together, Amen, Amen, Amen. All right, Mr. Koa, thank you for joining in worship today. Absolutely love that. Oh, so when we think of our animal friends and we think of the fact that they truly are in so many ways a prayer in and of themselves, we can find ourselves gathered together with them. It may well be at night. It may well be that we are sitting there and they come and they crawl into our lap or sit at our feet. And we know that in that very moment when that happens, they can take us and drop us into an attitude of prayer. And I must say that that is something we need more and more of these days. We have come to recognize that. You know, years ago, I was taught and subsequently have taught to others the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, to describe the varieties of prayer that may populate our prayer lives. A for adoration, C for contrition, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. It's a cute mnemonic, ACTS, A-C-T-S, but I must say the words are so heady that they sometimes require full sentences to explain, which somehow takes us away from the prayerfulness of our heart and back into the meanderings of our minds. For it's not as if contrition and supplication are words that we use in our everyday language. And when we say it out loud, the word adoration, it can sometimes have a bit of an idolatrous sound to it that we have to then explain away. And frankly, in that whole thing of ACTS, it's only thanksgiving, like the prayer of thanks that we just did for our animal friends, that makes natural sense to me. To say the word, and I know what you mean when I say thanks, not here, but right here in my heart. So I was so pleased in 2012 when Anne Lamont, the wonderful contemporary theological writer, wrote a short book on prayer in which she wonderfully simplified the concept of prayer to some words that say volumes without the need for explanation, words that speak directly to our hearts and our spirits and not to our head. The book was simply entitled Help, Thanks, and Wow. Prayer, she tells us, is so often beyond from our heart to the great mystery or goodness, to the animating energy of love. What a great phrase. The animating energy of love that we are sometimes bold enough to believe in. To something so unimaginably big, she says, so much not ourselves, so much outside ourselves that for convenience sake, we just say God. And the most essential of these prayers, those communication from our hearts to that great mystery that we are bold enough to call God, the most essential of our prayers is that first word, help. This, she says, Anne Lamont says, is the great prayer. It is the hardest prayer because in order to say help, you have to admit defeat. You have to surrender, which is the hardest thing any of us ever do. And the funny thing is that when we surrender, when we reach that point of desperation, when we are on our knees and have no idea where to turn, that so often is the moment when we miraculously establish a connection to that power that is greater than ourselves. It is both humbling and empowering, often desperate and hopeful simultaneously. But not all prayers, Anne Lamont will remind us, are born out of this very vulnerable moment, those prayers in which we just say, help. There are those in which we need to say nothing more than thanks. And Anne Lamont says, actually, the fullest prayer is thank you, thank you, thank you, which we just shortened to thanks. This is a prayer that comes as a sigh of relief, she says. There's that medical diagnosis, perhaps. As we just heard shared, the medical diagnosis of a person who has been now declared cancer-free. Or there's that moment when you catch a break that is, as Anne says, you didn't have any reason to believe that things are really going to be okay, and yet they were. Those prayers of thanks can also be the prayer that we say when we recognize that despite the fact that all could be a mess, somehow miraculously, all is well with the universe. Those prayers of thanks are often spontaneous, often exuberant, often a prayer that easily morphs into the prayer of wow. It's my favorite of her three words, the prayer of help, thanks, and wow. It says it all in that one word. We don't need to go into depth about that. You just know when you say wow, that this is the prayer in which we are finally speechless at the sheer beauty of God's creation. Speechless at the sheer wonder of a newborn's first smile. Speechless at the fact that we recognize that there's more wonder in the world than we could ever imagine. And though it was written more than two millennia before Anne Lamott, the psalmist of Psalm 19 mirrors this wonderful distinction, but in reverse order. So instead of help, thanks, and wow, Psalm 19 is a prayer of wow, thanks, and help. Wow, the psalmist says. The sky proclaims God's handiwork as one day gushes the next. Each night speaking wonders to the next. Or as Nan Merrill says in the Psalms for Praying, there is no speech. There are no words, yet the music of creation goes out through all the earth. Day to day, speech pours forth, and night to night, knowledge is revealed. Wow! The sun, like a groom emerging from the honeymoon suite, filled with life, filled with confidence, filled with wonder, filled with thrill. Wow! Wow, the psalmist says. And so what are the wow prayers of our days? Is it that glorious full moon of which we will be blessed with two this month of October? Is it the ocean's lap and roar in the distance that calms the soul and gives rise to the new day? Is it the emerging bud, the inspired idea, the creative impulse, that fleeting moment when you actually see someone in these last 6 months that is not a thumbnail? Linda Rich and I, just the other day, she happened to be in Weaver Hall as I was walking by, and we stopped and we talked to each other from 30 feet away. And we realized that in the last 6 months, that may have actually been about the only time that we've seen each other, not on a Zoom screen. Wow. But even in thumbnail, what we've been able to do, I was this morning preaching in Oregon at 8 o'clock this morning, because there in thumbnail, wow, we have the technology to allow that. We can still hear in these thumbnails of Zoom the child's laugh. We can still feel the radiance of a kupuna's love transmitted through those Zoom waves. How often do we pause and say that prayer of wow, like the psalmist does in Psalm 19? And then the psalmist, the last part of the psalm is about thanks. Here the psalmist turns their thanks. Excuse me, not the last part, the middle part of the psalm. The psalmist turns their thanks to the law, what the Jews knew as the Torah. If the first verses extol the wow of God's creation, I'm going to pull this up real quick to some pictures in behind me, see if I can do this, make the technology work for me. There we go. Step off to the side. So if the first parts of Psalm 19 extol the beauty of God's creation, the second part of Psalm 19, in that thanksgiving part, is where the psalmist recites, in looking at the Torah, that the very beauty, the very harmony, the very balance that we see in the creation is also seen in God's law. So if we can see it in the nautilus shell, or we can see it perhaps instead, if we can see it perhaps not just only in the nautilus shell, but maybe we can see it in the unfurling of the ha'upu fern, or the snowflake's image, or the crashing wave, or the rainbow, beautiful rainbow. if we can see that wow that we give thanks for in all these images of the creation, the psalmist wants us to recognize as well, that we see that as well in the Torah. So too does the psalmist say, the instructions of God are perfect. They revive our soul. And you can almost imagine this in worship, in which the people would then say, let us give thanks. God's commands are pure, giving light to our eyes. Let us give thanks. And all God's judgments are true. Let us give thanks. In the midst of the uncertainty that can sometimes define our days, God's commands give us order, give us boundaries. And in so many ways, by having those boundaries in which we can live in, they give us the comfort in which to operate. You know, in our family, we are big fans of Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer. Big fans, meaning we think he's really cool to watch. Not big fans, meaning that we're very good at imitating what it is he says we should do with our dogs, because our dogs are have always been miserably poorly behaved. Not their fault, ours. As Cesar Millan will say, is because dogs understand and crave order. They need to know all about the pack. They need to know who is the alpha and where they stand in the pack. They need to know what behavior is acceptable and what is not. And though we are much more complex than simple pack animals, we too crave order. And the commandments, the Torah, the law, is exactly that. It is not to put prescriptions on our behavior, but instead to give us boundaries and to give us ways in which we know to operate in order to have the fullness of life. So there's the Ten Commandments at the center of all of that. But those Ten Commandments we know could be reduced to three. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. And all those three could be reduced to one. Love, be love, as God is love. Those are the boundaries that we create. And the psalmist in Psalm 19 says, thank you. And then there's the prayers of help. Prayers of help that are there at the end of Psalm 19. At first, when we read that, we may not necessarily see it as a call for help, because oftentimes those calls for help, we really think, are calls that come only when we are at our wits' end. That's kind of what you would read in Psalm 51. Some of you may remember that Psalm 51 is the prayer that is said to have been written right after David understood how horribly and egregiously he had sinned when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and if that wasn't bad enough, had made sure that her husband Uriah the Hittite would be killed in battle so that David could continue his wanton ways. And when Nathan the prophet comes to him, makes sure that David understands how he has sinned against God and sinned against the nation, David recognizes it. He recognizes it and he says, have mercy on me, God, wash me thoroughly, for I know my transgressions and my sins. You are fully justified, God, in doing anything to me for how horrible I have been. Those are the pleas of help that we sometimes expect. This prayer that we see in Psalm 19 is maybe the help that we say a few days later. Still broken, but now aware of the need for the divine in our lives. It is a prayer for when we can see clearly where we have gone astray, and we know beyond that pain that there could be a better place to come. And so the psalmist prays, help me to not fall prey to my sin. Help me to hear the directions you offer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto God. May my actions reflect your spirit, God. Help me, help me, help me to be the one you have called me to be. Wow, thanks and help, the psalmist prays, as Anne Lamott urges us to do. Yet I suspect that if you are anything like me right now, in these chaotic, disturbing, divisive, and disillusioning days, even frightful days, it is not wow, thanks, and help that are at the tip of your tongue. It is not wow, thanks, and help that are the emotions that animate your actions. The words and emotions that fill us don't feel particularly prayerful these days if you are anything like me. It is not wow. It is not help that spill easily from my lips or from my heart in these chaotic days. Perhaps it's closer to yikes. Ah! And if you will forgive me for this four-letter word, perhaps it's even shit. that we are feeling are even stronger four-letter words right now at this time. And because that is what we are feeling, because that is what we're feeling, that should be our signal that we need to pray. We need to double down on prayer. For if we are going to be what Desmond Tutu calls us to be, part of the transfiguration of the ugliness in this world, believing the good that is at our core does not ever evaporate or disappear, but can indeed saturate the universe, then we have to, at these moments, be intentional about, as Anne Lamont says, establishing a connection to that which is greater than ourselves, than our issue, a connection to that animating energy of love. Any approach other than that may well land us in a place in which we are only piling on to the chaos that already exists, only contributing to a deeper divide, casting shadows in places where we should be radiating light. As Martin Luther King reminded us, returning hate for hate merely multiplies hate. Hate cannot ever drive out hate. Only love can do that. So I want to invite you right now to give yourselves, to give ourselves a gift right now. We're going to take a moment and let us be prayerful. Let us be like the psalmist of Psalm 19 and let us pray. And so I want to invite you right now to take a few deep cleansing breaths. And just let your lungs fill and let it out. Fill again and let it out. And one more time to put yourself into an attitude of prayer. And let us join with the order of the psalmist and allow a prayer of wow to pervade our spirits in the silence and of just a few moments. Let our hearts be filled with those places that we know where the only response right now can be wow. Let us be in prayer. And in the same way, he took the cup and he poured the cup and he said, "This is the cup of salvation, my blood that has been shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Just like with the bread, do this in remembrance of me," sharing the cup together.
Eat this bread, drink this cup. Come to me and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup. Trust in me and you will not thirst. This bread.